many people do you know who have heard the gospel? Maybe grew up in church and they thought to themselves, I'll get around to it. In fact, I'm going to put the gospel on layaway. Maybe one day I'll receive it. I'll believe it. I've got time. You know, everything's fine. I'm fine. You're fine. We're fine, right? We're all just fine. Life is good. I'm great. Do I really need the gospel? Do I need to believe in this guy, a carpenter that lived 2,000 years ago, died, was treated terribly, and he reportedly rose from the grave? Do I need to believe that? And you've shared the gospel with people who think the very same way. Do I really need to believe this message? Don't I have time? Can I just kind of wait this thing out? Put it on layaway. One day, receive it for myself. But then tragedy happens. Age catches up. Sickness comes, and it's too late. Death comes knocking. They've ignored the kindness of God that Jesus offers in salvation. This morning, before we take the Lord's Supper, we're going to look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4, in a message I've entitled, God's Kindness. And what we'll see here is that God's kindness is not meant to be ignored. God's kindness is to lead you to repent. So turn there with me to Romans chapter 2, verse 4. The scriptures say, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Let's pray. God, this morning as we examine your word, help us to not ignore what you've done. Help us to not turn away from you and turn towards our selfish ways, our selfish desire, our selfish will. But instead, see you in all of your kindness and to know that you have available the gospel. The gospel's before us. We can believe it. We can believe who you are. We don't have to understand everything the Bible says, but we can get the gospel. And along the way, your spirit, your word, and the church can help us understand the things we don't understand. God, help us to see your kindness at work today in our lives. We love you. Praise in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. So here's our background of what's been going on in Romans chapter 1, which Paul writes this letter to the Christians in Rome. Paul has been talking to them about how instead of worshiping the Creator who's made everything, they've turned inward and instead worshiped creation. Rather than worshiping the Maker of all, they worship what he's made. And as a result, they have reaped the punishment, the consequence. God has given them over. And now in chapter 2, Paul is talking towards those who would be categorized as judgmental hypocrites. Judgmental hypocrites. They're calling out sin in everybody else. Meanwhile, they don't look at the sin in their own life. They think that just because they can identify sin in others means that they're somehow right with God. Do you know the type? I'd say that's God's sin police. They can write you the ticket. They can tell you how you're wrong. Meanwhile, they never confess sin. They never ask for forgiveness. They're never wrong. They're always right. This is God's sin police. This is the ones that God got onto. When he came down, the Son of God, as Jesus, he called out the Pharisees all the time because they had the Word of God. And instead of seeing the mercy and the kindness of God, they called out everybody else's sin and told them how they were wrong. This is what Paul is accusing those in Romans chapter 2 of. And look at Romans 2:3. In Romans 2:3, Paul says, do you suppose, O man, you who judge, who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you'll escape the judgment of God? We know the answer. No. No, they're not going to escape God's judgment just because they know what's right and wrong. It's about it's about doing what's right and wrong. It's not just by identifying. It's not just by saying. It's not by just simply going to all the right Bible studies, knowing how to study the Bible. It's living out the Bible. It's not just knowing it. It's believing it and letting it change you. And this is what Paul is saying here that they're doing. They're neglecting God's kindness in Romans 2, verse 4. And this is where we'll focus our time this morning. The first thing I want you to see from Romans 2, 4 is this. God's kindness is not to be ignored. It's not to be ignored. Look at the first half of the verse. It says, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? The Greek word here, presume, can also be translated and understood as meaning to despise or to think nothing of. To despise or think nothing of. And Paul uses this same Greek word, coincidentally, in 1 Corinthians 11:22, when he condemns the Corinthian church for getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. He says to them, do you not think of God's church and those who are in it when you partake of the Lord's Supper? Do you think little of God and his people? Do you not care? And for the Roman Christians to think that they're good with God just because they're acting as his sin police is foolish. This is foolishness. This is not the way it ought to be. God doesn't just want people who can spot out sin. He wants us. He wants you to see the sin in your heart and own up, to be honest. Because God already knows it all. God's aware. You're not fooling him. God wants us to be honest. And this is one of the reasons for God's kindness, is not to abuse it. Because God has offered us grace. We see this in Romans 6, verses 1 through 2. If you were to turn there, you'd see Paul says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? What's his answer? No means. No way. Should we sin that grace may abound? Never. How can we who died to sin still live in it? When we do baptisms, we talk about dipping someone under as representing the life that they used to live. They're now dead to that life. And when they're raised, they're to walk in this new kind of living, putting to death. The fact is, as a Christian, it's not that you stop sinning, but when you're tempted to or when you catch yourself sinning, you repent and you get convicted of that sin. If there's no conviction in your life, if there is no awareness of your sin in your life, the fact is you may not be a believer. You may be churched, you may be informed, but you may not be a Christian yet if you have no conviction, no desire to repent and walk close with Christ. We are not meant to abuse his grace, to abuse his kindness. So don't despise or think nothing of God's riches he has given you. God's kindness, his abundance in his kindness. This is why Paul calls it riches. Is God is eternally rich. He's an eternal being who has eternal riches and patience and kindness he wants to share with you. In this kindness, there's also his forbearance, which is God's tolerance. God is so tolerant, but don't test him. God is so merciful, but don't wait. God is kind towards you. He is patient, and he holds back his wrath. Don't ignore that aspect. I think as Westerners, we think of Jesus as being kind, and maybe this Old Testament God as being wrathful. But God is one and the same, always and forever. He never changes, as Summer spoke earlier. This aspect of God's unchanging nature is true, and it holds true. There's a book that Molly and I have been reading, and Dane Ortlund, the author, talks about how God the Father is not just this God of wrath and Jesus is this God of kindness. No, God, Father, Son, and Spirit are forever, eternally, and perfectly kind. And he's also a God of wrath. But he doesn't default over here to wrath. You see that? He doesn't default into his wrath. He's not waiting, doing this, just waiting for you to mess up. He's not waiting to dish out his wrath on you. He is kind. He's abundantly kind. And he's trying to offer this kindness to you. Don't store up wrath for the day of wrath, as Paul later says. Don't test him. Don't ignore it. Don't think nothing of it. There was once a man named Jeff, and you could give him whatever name you would like to give him. He was known for critiquing and judging others. He pointed out other people's sins and told them how they should be living. And one day he thought to himself, God isn't real. And if he is, he's not kind. And he began to test the limits of God in small ways, complaining wherever he could, telling servers at the local restaurants they weren't doing a good job. And this gradually increased his critical, judgmental behavior, continued to increase. And he found himself going out of his way to be harsh and judgmental towards others, ignoring those who wanted his attention, ignoring others who were in need, and even picking fights over the smallest thing. And one day, someone came to him and told him about the love of God, how in Jesus, Jesus demonstrated the kindness of God towards him, found in the gospel, where he lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and rose from the grave. Now, Jeff was so enraged by this, he didn't even engage in conversation. Instead, he pushed the guy down and kept going on his way. Well, as time went by, he found himself one day in his old age on his deathbed in a hospital. And a pastor comes by and asks, Jeff, can I pray with you? Jeff says, no, I don't want your prayer, but I do have a question. Why has God not shown me his kindness? And the pastor proceeds to say the exact same thing the man all those years back had told him. That God showed his kindness in the person of Jesus, who lived a perfect life, died on the cross for his sins, and rose from the grave. Don't wait. Don't wait. If you're hearing this message today, don't wait. Don't ignore the kindness of God he has given you in the person of Christ. God's kindness is not meant to be ignored. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but he is patient towards you, not wishing anyone should perish, meaning not wishing anyone should die and spend eternity apart from him in a place called hell. That's not God's desire, but instead, he wishes all should repent. God has wrath, but he doesn't want you to suffer under it. God's kindness is being offered to you in the gospel, not desiring anyone to face his wrath. Listen, here's the reality. We all will stand in judgment before a perfect God who knows us. Every thought, motive, intention of your heart, he knows you. And we can spend eternity in one of two places. In eternity, in heaven forever with him, or apart from him, which is not his desire, in a literal place called hell. God desires all to repent. He's made a way, and he offers his kindness towards you today. The second thing I want you to see this morning is this. God's kindness ought to lead you to repent. And you see that in the second part. Look with me, Romans 2, 5, second half of that verse. It says, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. So the second part of this verse speaks of God's intention in his kindness. What is his goal of showing kindness towards you? What's to lead you to repent? And what is repentance? In Greek, it means a change of mind. It's a change of mind. God's purpose is to lead, it's to guide, it's to direct you away from the way that you are living, the way you understand the world, and to see things from his vantage point, to know him. And it's not merely a mindset, it's not a philosophy. It's a relationship that comes into your life. It's a change of your heart. The repentance that takes place totally alters every part of you, where your mind is renewed, your heart is softened, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and now what you say and do ought to look differently than the way that you were, the way you used to live, the way you used to treat others and view the world. There ought to be this kind of modeling Christ in your life where you're not ready to dish out wrath like that, but instead you're showing kindness and mercy and patience towards others. Romans 3:10 through 11 points out this important aspect that on our own, without the kindness of God, we don't want the gospel. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repent, right? There's his goal, there's his objective, and it's his God's kindness that is wooing you. He's drawing you towards him through the gospel and through the Holy Spirit. And Romans 3, 10 through 11 points out, none is righteous, not even one. No one understands and no one seeks for God. We don't want God on our own. We're not naturally born good. We're not naturally seekers of God. We don't want him on our own. It is God's kindness that draws you, that shows you he is good, that he is worthy of your whole life. And until the Holy Spirit shows us this and breaks through our sinful, broken heart, we're stuck. We're stuck. We're right here, just stuck in a sin pattern, stuck justifying ourselves, explaining things away, stuck thinking we're good and moral and fine without God's intervention. Now, go with me here. I'm a big Star Wars nerd. The prequels, which came out when I was younger, focus on a character named Anakin, who we know one day turns into Darth Vader. And in the prequels, you see Anakin, who starts off as really kind, he's generous, he's sacrificial, he wants to help his new friends out. And as he grows older, you see him grow more and more willing to compromise, testing authority, testing the limits. And he gives in anger, which he allows, of course, for fear to be given anger, as Yoda says, and anger to give over to hate, and hate to lead to suffering. You know the line. And Anakin, as a character, he shows how flawed he is, how prone he is to the desires in his heart, letting them control him. And even with the help of Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi, all the kindness that he offers him, all the guidance he offers him, he still doesn't take it. All the way, episode 1 through 3. And Obi-Wan doesn't kill him. He has a chance, not just once, but if you believe in the Disney show that came on, he lets him live another time, all right? Depending on how you view all that, okay? Growing up as a kid, that fight happened twice. Once in slow motion, and then one of the most amazing duels in episode 3. But we can talk about that later. Even though Obi-Wan shows kindness to Anakin, Anakin doesn't care. He is driven by darkness. He's driven by his hate. And in similar ways, you as a person are flawed. You are driven by sinful desires. You are driven by your passions. You think you're in control of them, but actually, they're driving you. This is why Ezekiel 36 says you had a heart of stone and God gives you a heart of flesh. So you're moldable. You're open to God changing you. But until that happens, you're going to be driven by these sinful desires. And it's through God's kindness that you can be changed. It's through God's mercy that you can enter into this relationship with Jesus. Listen, Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. The wages is the cost. The cost of your sin is death, an eternal death, apart from God. But guess what? That's not the whole verse. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you weren't a good person. Romans 5:8 says, even while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. While you mocked him, while you ridiculed him, while you thought yourself, I'm fine, I'm good, I don't need him, Christ died on your behalf. So what do we do with this? We ought to repent. I love this quote. I mentioned Dane Ortlund, who wrote this book called, Gentle and Lowly. There it is. If you've never read the book, I'd highly recommend it. He says this, if your heart be hard, his mercies are tender. If your heart be dead, his mercy can liven it. If your heart be sick, he has mercy to heal you. If your heart be sinful, he has mercies to sanctify and to cleanse you. As large and various are our wants, so large and various are his mercies. Our sin may be great, but his grace is greater. His mercy endures. So in God's kindness, that ought to lead you to repentance. So today, if you're a Christian, here's how I would advise us to respond back to what I said at the very beginning of the message. Is there anyone you've ever shared the gospel with that's just put that on layaway, said, I'm going to get back to it someday? Here's what I would challenge you to do. I would challenge you to pray for that individual or those individuals every day this week. And here's what will happen. God will prompt you. God will give you scripture. God will awaken your love for that person. And he'll help you. And maybe God gives you another opportunity this week. Maybe it's later on down the line. But I know for me personally, when I have prayed for individuals and asked for God's wisdom, he's put a greater love on my heart. He's put more scripture on my heart for them. He's given me an angle at which to approach conversations. And he does more, far more than I can do on my own through prayer. At this time, we're going to enter into a time of response. And today, if you find yourself not receiving his kindness, not believing it, rejecting it, putting it away, here's what I want you to do. Here's how you're to respond. If you're not a Christian, I want you to ask yourself, why not? Why not? What's holding you back? What do you think that God doesn't already know about you? What shame do you have that God couldn't cover with his grace? If there's anything you should have heard today, is that God's kindness is far greater than your wickedness. God wants to lavish that on you, but don't test it. Don't ignore it. Don't push it aside. Respond, repent, believe. God loves you more than you love yourself, and he's demonstrated this kindness through the gospel. And you can believe the gospel today, and the gospel is this, that Jesus lived a perfect life for you. He died on the cross to pay for your sin, all of it, knowing it all. And 3 days later, he rose victoriously from the grave, conquering sin and death, and none of us can do that. One day you're going to stand in judgment before a perfect God who knows you well. And he's going to say one of two things. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. Or he's going to say the thing none of us want to hear. And none of us desire anyone here to hear. And it's depart from me, I never knew you. Today, would you enter into his rest? Would you receive his kindness that Christ has shown you through the gospel? Would you stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Lord Jesus, in this room, I pray that you would move in a powerful way. You would show us your kindness, that your kindness on display right now is an offer. That while the penalty of our sin is great, God, we know your love is greater. Your mercy is greater. Your grace covers it all. God, would you move us because of what you've done for us, not because you needed it, because you want that relationship with us. You want to know us in a deep way and change us for all of our days and into eternity, that we would have that close walk with you, knowing your kindness. God, work in us. Every single heart in this room. Lord, would you speak? God, we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen.